you know, how do you get paid, right? Like, where are the incentives? And therefore, you can determine what the behavior is going to be. And so we're paid directly by the union fund
right.
to run these centers with one mission, provide great access to the members and families and improve their health. Mm-hmm. There's no middleman. There's no extra administrative costs. We don't get paid for however many people we see. We get paid directly to operate those centers. So
salary.
We're completely aligned
right. so it's just
with the union.
And your doctors are on a salary.
Absolutely.
So yes. it doesn't matter how many patients they see in a day.
That's right.
Okay.
What we care about is identifying those yep. members and families that need help and making sure that they get in and have access.
Well, something that I always think back on, a good example of this from the operating engineers was folks, they did a study to see how many members had used one of these centers in the past 12 months mm-hmm. versus people who had not, and then who had done their routine screenings. And it was like twice as many members had been compliant with their routine required screenings. And for things like colon cancer, catching it early makes such an enormous difference in the survivability of that, and with so many other diseases as well. So you're not just coming in for a physical, but it's coming in having a conversation like, have you done this? We can do this right now. And the fact that this is all just, you're not on a stopwatch.
Yeah, Ed, there's a really interesting backstory to this. So the healthcare community measures its quality with an acronym called HEDIS. And I won't get into all the details, but it basically measures compliance with, did you order this test? Did you have this conversation? And the medical community lives in that 50th to 60th percentile of HEDIS. We live in the 85th to 95th percentile of HEDIS. And so what I liken that to is if you went into a grocery store and there was a 75% chance your milk was pasteurized, you wouldn't go into that grocery store anymore.
Yeah.
But that is literally the level of quality we put up with from the general medical community. I'm not talking about just here in Chicagoland. This is this is coming about our national situation.
All of your 900-plus wellness centers, correct?
Absolutely. And so we have what's called a provider dashboard.
Yeah.
And it's red, yellow, green. And every single month, we look across all the different conditions and the different locations and who's yellow, red, and green. And we're very proud of the fact
that is this self-administered still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're using national standards, we're tracking this by each provider in the company.
And your incentive to have that is to continue to, obviously, look, your incentive is to continue to grow your business, right? And disrupt healthcare, as you've always said, right? Go out and disrupt healthcare and provide an actual value to our members, make sure that they're healthier, they're getting in quicker, they have access, which is a big deal. You actually have an incentive to check all these boxes and do well. Because if you don't, and we're getting the same thing that we get from blank health, you know, whatever it is, consortium, hospital network, then there's no point for us,
yeah.
right?
The knock-on premise is that we're too quiet of a company, and that's my fault.
What do you mean?
That we're not carnival barkers. We're not out there on the billboards or on, you know, the national business channels. My view has always been, if you do a great job and you focus on your brand and your reputation, you'll grow.
Right.
And we're not public. You know, we're owned by a large pension fund.
Right.
My mandate from that fund is to disrupt U.S. healthcare and build a great brand.
Yeah.
And so we are highly incentivized to provide high quality care so that your members and their families get healthier. Because if that's the case, then we get more work from MCL and the trades.
Right.
Right.
So basically you're saying it's interesting, right? It's like the MCL, if you will. Like, we don't go out and advertise. You know, we don't go out and scream from the rooftops, hey, everybody, look at us. Look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
Our growth has literally been word of mouth.
Yeah. The
right?
proof is in the pudding.
And we have, you know, this show has obviously been helpful for us, right? We're the number one show in the country, I guess.
At 8 a.m. on Sundays.
North America.
North America. Yeah, North America. It's translated into how many different languages?
312.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. Thanks. So, but yeah, I understand. Like, so it's like an organic growth, right? So people are coming to you and saying like, hey, I would, you know, like to hear about your plan. Because I talk to unions all across now. Ed and I are, I don't even know where. We're getting national, right? And so we're going to be talking about that at some point. But we're talking to unions and saying like, hey, this is this model that we have in and around Chicagoland. And here's what it's doing. And people are like, they're building these, you know, here, there, and the other, right? Like one-offs here. The plumbers in, I want to say, Minnesota, I think,
yes.
have one.
That's
right.
Great. Yep.
And you're seeing them start to pop up.
We're with Unite here, for example, in a couple
right,
cities.
That's right, yeah. And so you're starting to see these pop up all over the place. And you know, there has been some consolidation since we started this process with you guys, or actually, to be blunt with you, started this process when we put it out for RFP pre-COVID. There were probably 7, 8 players.
Yeah, at least 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now how many are there?
We're down to about 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think that scale is what's important.
Remember, I'm a lawyer, so whatever you tell me is attorney-client proof. Nobody's listening, Phil.
I appreciate
that. Okay?
This is between us.
You know, the word scale comes to mind, right? So to be able to provide consistent care across the country, in this case to the trades, provide the same consistent care in California as we do in Maine,
right?
You have to have a large organization, big technology infrastructure, big operational infrastructure. And I think what our competitors are finding is that if you're subscale, it's hard to compete for the big business. So Premise is obviously at scale with our 900 centers. And, you know, we have fully integrated operational support teams in every region.
Yeah.
And so we're a more attractive, safer set of hands, if you will, for a large national organization.
Well, look, I don't think competition is necessarily a bad thing, obviously, right?
Right,
and
exactly.
If a few companies can do it well, more power to them.
I look at it this way. There is so much need for primary care, and organizations like union funds and large employers don't know what to do with this escalating cost, that I hope that all of our competitors are successful, because it just reinforces the importance of direct primary care.
There's no question about it.